to Epiphany Fellowship's podcast, where our goal is to see people everywhere show off the glory of Christ in every area of life. We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by today's message and will allow the Word of God to dwell in you richly.
Amen, amen. Listen, I don't know about you, but it's good news that we have a God who saves. That there is no name under heaven by which man can be saved other than the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. I don't know if you're excited about that, but if you know him, you should be excited that he indeed saves and continues to save. He's still saving today. That's good news. Amen. 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 Listen, I'm excited to just be before you today. I know Black preachers make a habit of saying they're not going to be before you long. I was thinking that was going to be the case, but I don't know. So I'm not going to make no promises I can't keep. Amen. Amen. Now, listen, while I have you standing, can you open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5? 1 John, the 5th chapter. As we continue on in our anchored series. 1 John chapter 5, beginning at verse 14. We only have two verses this morning, so I'm going to read it for your hearing, if that's okay. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Here's the word of the Lord. It says this, verse 14, this is the confidence that we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears whatever we ask, then we know that we have what we have asked of him. This morning, I just want to take a little bit of time and tag our text, anchored in the confidence of answered prayer. Anchored in the confidence of anchored prayer. Would you pray with me? Our Father and our God, we just come with thankful hearts. We come with thankful hearts because you have written in your word certain promises to us. And God, you've given us invitation after invitation to embrace, accept, receive those promises. And so, Father, I would pray, my prayer for us this morning is that we would be able to grab hold of with confidence the promises you give surrounding prayer, that we can come to you, that we have access to you. And so, Father, we want that. We want that deeply in our souls. But the truth is, we don't often make use of it. And so this morning, would you help me, oh God, your servant, to encourage your people today that they have a heavenly Father that loves them, that cares for them, wants to hear from them, and wants to answer when they call. Would you give your servant strength this morning to preach with power, with humility, and with conviction, that we might receive the word that you have for us today. And it's in Christ Jesus' name we do pray these things. If you agree with that, say amen, amen, and amen. You can be seated, anchored in the confidence of answered prayer. You know, one of the things that I can admit that I've grown kind of comfortable sharing is that I can admit that I have bougie tendencies. I don't know about y'all, but I feel like I've lived long enough to earn the right to treat myself every now and again. If you don't feel that way, you just need to keep on living, as the old church says. Now, you know, one of the ways that I like to experience my bougie tendencies is when I go out to eat at a restaurant. Amen. Thank you. I got one amen in the house. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Lyons. Somebody's with me. Y'all need to step your game up. I have my guilty pleasures, you know, but when I can choose, I got to be honest with you, I'm not just eating anywhere. Some of y'all set the bar too low. Now, I'll tell you what, it's a blessing when you have a group of friends that share your cultured palate. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm just going to warn you now, you be careful of recommending somewhere to me, because if it's trash, I'll say it nicely, but I'm going to say it in truth. Amen, somebody. But I love the experience of being around people who love food too, because there's nothing like being around good food and good people. It just does something to nourish the soul and the stomach. Amen, somebody. But nourish the soul. Amen. But listen, the best part, you know, the best part about going out to eat with people is that's a little bougie. Is it's when you get to the restaurant and before anybody orders anything, they say, order what you want. Some of y'all couldn't say amen because it never happened to you. But when you go out to eat, especially at a good restaurant, and somebody tell you to order what you want, it just hit different. It's just different. They're basically telling you, you got carte blanche. Oh, the see, you like that word, didn't you? Yeah, I know you did. Uh-huh. That's SAT word right there. You gotta step your game up. But listen, some of y'all, when somebody tell you to order what you want, y'all get all hesitant and squirmish, and not me though. I'm like, say less. Go ahead, let's get this thing cracking. You know what I mean? You know, sometimes people feel bad about ordering what they really want, even though they've been told they have freedom to. And then they get disappointed with the substandard thing that they ordered after they realize that they missed out on the moment to take advantage of the invitation that was extended to them. I know y'all can tell where I'm going with this, but this makes me reflect on all the potential opportunities I've missed when I had to pray. Because I didn't pray with confidence and instead prayed with fear, doubtful that God would even answer. I'm going to be up front with us this morning. I just have one single agenda for our time, and it's this. I want you to walk away today more confident in what your relationship to God gives you access to through prayer. Here's the thing that I want you to know about God. God always answers certain types of prayer. I didn't know if you knew that. But God makes a habit of promising to answer certain types of prayer. Because God wants us to pray big, faith-filled prayers. The kind of prayer that would fail if it was only dependent on you. Now, these aren't the only things that characterize them. So we have to ask ourselves a question. How can we pray so that we know with certainty that God will answer? Brings me to my first point this morning is simply this. The confidence of answered prayer is the result of our relationship to God. I know that sounds simple, but I need you to root yourself there, because this is critical information to understanding how you get the type of access that you have for God to want to answer. And it's a result of the relationship that we have with him. Look at verse 13. I'm not going to stay there for long, but look at verse 13. It says, I've written these things to you so that you may believe in the name of the Son of God, for those who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Verse 14, this is the confidence that we have before him. Now, the Apostle John here in chapter 5 has reached the end of what he wants to say in this epistle to these members at this church. And one of the primary things that he wants to write about, that he wants them to know, is he's trying to assure his readers that those who have believed in Jesus as the Son of God have as their possession eternal life. That's why he writes in verse 13, I have written these things so that you may know that you have eternal life. He wants them to know that they can have confidence, not just in the future, some distant future, as it relates to Christ's return or the coming judgment, but he wants them to have confidence right now that there is meaningful, there's something meaningful about their relationship with God. Namely, that one of the results of this eternal life that they have through belief on his son, Jesus Christ, is the ability to have confidence or boldness before God, rather in his presence, in the presence of God, that they can have boldness, particularly when they pray. And so John is making the case that if we can have confidence in our eternal standing before God, listen, then we can have confidence that he hears us when we pray. Somebody's going to get that on the way home. John essentially is saying, if you can be absolutely sure that you belong to him, then you can be absolutely sure that there is never a time when you open your lips to heaven and God doesn't hear you. Listen, somebody didn't shout. I'm telling you, this is critical information. If you belong to God, guess what? He always hears your prayers. And I know you didn't run around and shout because things might be going good in life right now, but I can absolutely tell you there have been times in your life where you felt like God didn't hear anything that you said. You've been praying and tarrying and crying and weeping and listening to worship songs all week long, and you still feel like God hasn't heard a word you said. And I'm here to tell you that's not true. If you belong to him, he always hears you. Your eternal standing is indicative that you have a pre-existing intimate relationship. Let me see if I can make it plain. I got four kids, and when my kids were young, all of my kids sounded exactly the same when they cried. My wife knows, she can attest to this. I got three girls and a boy, and they all sounded exact. When I say exactly, I mean exact. You know what exactly mean in the Greek? Exactly. They sounded exactly the same. Now, there will be times where me and my wife, Courtney, we would go out to an event, and we would have one of our babies with us, and somebody would offer to hold our babies because people love cute babies. You know what I'm saying? So they'll go grab the baby and then walk around and let us mingle. And here's the thing that you got to know about events that allow you to bring a baby with you. If an event allows you to bring a baby with you, everybody's baby going to be there because it's too horrifying childcare. That's for free. I'm just letting you know. So don't think if you open it up to babies, only one person going to bring. No, all the babies going to be there. Now, eventually, if you're at an event where a lot of people got babies, eventually the babies would communicate amongst themselves and start crying all at the same time. But the interesting thing was, it didn't matter how many babies were in the room. Me and my wife could distinguish the sound of our child among the symphony of chaos. We were familiar with the sound of our baby. There was a particular pitch. There was a particular frequency that helped us identify the voice of our child from every other child that was there, because that was our child. We had spent time with that child that made us intimately knowledgeable of what their voice sounded like. Can I make the connection for us? Your heavenly Father can hear the sound of his children's voice among the crowd, and guess what? Prioritizes their need of him. That means that when you're hungry, he hears that cry. When you're tired, he can hear it in your voice. Even if you find yourself covered in your own mess, he'll be right there to clean you up, because your Father loves you and wants you to know that you can come to him with anything for no other reason then you are his. So not only is the result of our confidence that of a relationship with God, but the confidence of our answered prayer is also the result. Bless God on high. It's Father, when I say sweltering, Amen. See? See? You know when the Bible says, you know, you don't even know what to pray. And the Holy Spirit, he just, see, y'all ain't experienced that, but I experienced that just now. Amen. Listen, the confidence of answered prayer is not only a result of our relationship, but it's also a result of our alignment with God. Verse 14, it says, this confidence that we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, verse 14 is the second place in John's letter in this epistle where the author speaks about the believer's confidence in prayer. If you were to jump back to chapter 3, verse 22, he says, we have confidence before God and receive whatever we ask from him because we keep his commands and to do what is pleasing in his sight. And so John, just a chapter sooner, links confidence in prayer to pleasing God by doing what he commands. I like this quote from H.B. Charles in his book, It Happens After Prayer. He says this. He says, God typically answers prayer that is offered by a person who is totally committed to him. Answered prayer as the natural overflow of a committed life. The life of one praying is more important to God than the words of the prayer. For God accepts the prayer, listen to this, because God accepted the person. It is not as much about what was said, but rather who it is doing the talking. For God is always more concerned about what is happening in you than what he's concerned about happening to you. It's the same idea expressed in James chapter 5, where James writes, the prayer of a righteous person availeth. See, you know, I looked this up and I was using the CSB and I was like, man, that just don't hit the same. I had to break out the New King James on them because it says the prayers of a righteous person availeth much. That availeth just hit different. You know, it just give a little sizzle in the soul when you read it. It availeth much and is very powerful in its effect. Listen, the condition of answered prayer, based on what John is saying in verse 22 of chapter 3, is whether our behavior is in line with God's commands. The Christian is to be a person who pleases God by obeying God's commands. Now, I want you to know this ain't coming from me. So I want to give us a few verses to let us know what the Bible says about how our obedience to God impacts how he receives our prayers. Can I do that for us this morning? Look, Proverbs 28:9 says, anyone who turns his ear away from hearing the law, even his prayer is detestable. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous, Proverbs 15:29. 2 Corinthians 7, and my people who bear my name humble themselves, pray and seek my face, and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal the land. I can keep going. Psalm 66, if I had been aware of malice in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. However, God has listened. He has paid attention to the sound of my prayer. 1 Peter chapter 3, because the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do what is evil. James chapter 4 says, you desire and do not have, for you murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and wage war. Listen to what he says. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and don't receive because you ask with wrong motives. So that when you spend it on your own pleasures. John's purpose here is to encourage us to enter fully into this familial relationship in which God delights to hear and answer the requests of his children. Essentially, what he's saying is that the more fully we enter into that relationship, the more our asking will be in accordance with his will. That means that for the individual who is committed to walking with the Lord in obedience to what he's commanded, guess what it does? It results in a changed mind and a changed heart. And so the things that you used to do, you don't enjoy doing no more. We're talking about a real Christian right now. Like, we're talking about it like a real disciple. Not the type of Christian y'all may be familiar with. Because, you know, everybody today can call themselves a Christian. You know, when in reality, they're what I would call Christian adjacent. Because they grew up in the church. Or somebody in their family go to church. Or they espouse to Christian values that they don't really live out. But we just be, people just be making stuff up and calling it Christian. And then giving the rest of us a bad name. Because they be out here trifling. This ain't who John talking about. John ain't talking about the people that just got little verses in their Instagram bio. And then you scroll down and you got to quickly get off their page. I know y'all don't know nobody like that. No, he's talking about people who are absolutely, unequivocally committed to walking with God no matter what. It's the type of person that says, my goal in life is to please God above all else. Because it's that person who's more committed to building God's kingdom than their own kingdom. They're more about God's agenda than their own agenda. And when you get that serious about God, listen, I'm telling you right now, when you get to the point in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ where you get that serious about God, when you're changed like that, there is absolutely no going back. It's no going back, right? Like I know we noticed it today, but a frog can't go back to be a tadpole no more. Butterfly can't go back to be no caterpillar. You know what I'm saying? When you are changed by the word and you are committed to obeying his word in every single area of your life, guess what? It changes you. Changes you. You can't do the same stuff no more. You won't even want to because it don't bring the same type of enjoyment. That's the type of disciple that he's talking about right here. And so John, in verse 14 of chapter 5, he states this. He says, if we ask anything according to his what? His will, he hears us. John records Jesus making a similar statement in the Gospel of John in chapter 15, verse 7, where Jesus encourages us to ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. However, there is a condition, because he continues on. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, the condition is satisfied by meeting the requirement of a continuing, abiding relationship. And so if we just read and stop before we get to the condition, we'll develop this ideology that says anything we ask of God, he'll just give us. And he's not saying that here, because then what happens is you start asking for a bunch of stuff that's not in God's will, that God don't even agree with, and then you get mad at God when he don't answer. Here he's saying no. For the person who is abiding in me, when they ask me for something, I'm going to give them what they ask for. You know why? Because when you abide, you're closer to the heart of God, better understand the will of God. And you actually know what to pray for.
Yes.
And then he wants the answer because you're praying for stuff that he already wants for you. Here, in verse 14, John also attaches a condition as well. He says, if we ask anything according to his will. I like how one theologian puts it. He says, prayer is not a convenient device for imposing our will upon God or for bending his will to ours, but the prescribed way of subordinating our will to his. It is by prayer that we seek God's will, embrace it, and align ourselves with it. For every true prayer is just a variation of the theme, your will be done. You know, many of us pray believing that God will answer our prayers simply because we trust that he will answer them. But the truth is that sometimes our desires are not God's desires for us. Sometimes what we want is not what our Heavenly Father wills. But those who are mature in faith accept that God's will is best and are willing to trust his plans and purpose, even if it doesn't make sense in the moment. Because the prayer of the mature disciple prioritizes God's interests above their own. It's interesting to note that when Jesus taught the disciples how to pray in Matthew chapter 6, the whole first half of him teaching them how to pray is focused and occupied with God and his interests. It's focused on worship, focused on praise, focused on thanksgiving, which is why he tells them just a chapter later, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then dot, dot, dot. The point is that the believer must seek to submit his will to God's by saying, your will be done. And when we learn to want what God wants, we have the joy of receiving his answer to our petitions. You know, the promise of making our petitions according to the will of God is that he hears us. That's what John says in verse 14. He says, if we ask anything according to his will, guess what happens? This is a promise. He hears us. This does not mean that God simply acknowledges that we have prayed, but that he hears us favorably, or even better, that he answers favorably. It's very similar to the man who was born blind over in John chapter 9, what he responds after the Pharisees start trying to jam him up. He says, we know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, guess what? He listens to him. This phrase, he hears us, means to hear favorably. It carries the sense of responding positively to the request. And even though we don't always know what God's will is for us, we have joyful assurance that whatever is God's will for us will be done. So listen, both our relationship and our alignment help us to have confidence that when we pray, God both hears us and answers us because of those things. But those things also mean that we can do another thing, which is that we can pray with radical expectation. I remember being a young Christian and almost like stepping on eggshells when it was time to pray, because I would think that maybe God wouldn't want to answer my prayers. So oftentimes I would start off prayers like, God, if you want to, God, I know you don't have to, but would you consider? I mean, I would have just been better off saying, never mind, God, don't even worry about it. I don't know why we start off praying like that. Because what it does is it teaches us, it reinforces this false idea of God that says God desires more to say no to us than to say yes. And so then we begin to operate with God in this type of relationship where when we come to him, we can't even pray by faith because we're already expecting him to say no. We're just asking because we feel like we got to do it out of obligation, not because we really believe that he's going to answer. And so I would consider and meditate on the reasons why I thought God wouldn't want to answer my prayers and never just rested in the promise that he wants to. And in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says this to the disciples. He says, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? For some reason, we don't think about God as a loving father when we come to him. We don't think about God as a father who actually wants to do good things for his children. Let me put it like this. I told you I got four kids. I'm often more excited to get my kids what they want then they're excited in receiving it. Like if my kids tell me they want something, I love seeing them happy. I love seeing them enjoy life. I love being able just to get them stuff because I love them, and it's just good. And so when my kids ask me for something, I'd be hyped. I'd be like, man, I know they really want this. You know what I'm saying? They don't know when they're getting it. They don't even know if I'm going to get it. They just ask for it. But I can't wait to see the look on their face when I get it for them and then give it to them. Because then it's like, it reinforces this love, trust relationship. It's like, oh man, you actually got that for me. You actually care about me. You actually heard what I asked you for. Listen, half the time, they don't even gotta ask me for stuff. I've never gone into Target since I've had kids and not walked down the toy aisle. My kids always be on my mind, all the time. I might not even have no money to spend. Because, you know, it's weird. Like, when they're with me and they ask to go look at something, I'm like, man, we ain't getting nothing. Come on, we got to get up out of here. You ain't getting no more toys. You got enough toys. But when they're not with me, guess what I'm doing? I'm up and down the toy aisle. Up and down the toy aisle, looking to see if there's something new I can buy. They don't need no more toys. But there's something about my love for them that just says, I love them so much, I just want to do nice things for them all the time. How come we don't think about God that way? We don't think about God in terms of the fact that he's a loving father who always has you on his mind, who wants to do good things for you, who wants to answer your prayer. Listen, you know how I know? Because there's a bunch of stuff that God has already done that you never even asked for. Never even crossed your mind to ask for, and God blessed you anyway. You know why? Because he loves you, and he's thinking about you, and he wants you to experience his joy. That's why he says, in my presence is the fullness of joy, and at my right hand are pleasures forevermore. God wants good for you. And he wants you to not be afraid to come ask him. Listen, you know, when I was growing up, I was poor growing up. And so sometimes I would feel bad about asking my parents for stuff because I knew they didn't have it. Guess what? That's not your testimony. Your dad rich. Matter of fact, rich don't even describe your dad. So you gonna tell me your dad, you got a dad who loves you, cares about you, wants to see you filled with his joy. He ain't got no problems supplying the need that you have, but you scared to ask him why? I don't mind the awkward pause. God, listen, God is, he's giving us an invitation to come to him. He says, for those who belong to me, who are faithfully committed to obeying my word and praying my will, guess what? When you pray, I'm always going to answer. And that answer is always going to be yes. Can you imagine that? Do you know what would change, not just in your prayer life, but in your tangible life, if you prayed believing that God, when he answered your prayers, was always a yes because you were obedient to his word and praying his will? Could you imagine how our lives would be different? In verse 15, John writes, he says, and if we know that he hears whatever we ask, then we know that we have what we have asked for. This Christian assurance is tantamount to a double certainty. To say that we know that he hears us is the same as saying we know that we have what we asked for. So John writes, he says, if you know that you have eternal life, guess what? You can have absolute certainty that when you pray, God hears you. And if you have absolute certainty that God hears you, then you can have absolute certainty that you have what you've asked for. I love that because it teaches us to pray with great expectation. One of my favorite verses is Psalm chapter 5, verse 3. It says, in the morning, Lord, You hear my voice. In the morning, I plead my case to you and watch expectantly. Mark chapter 11 says, therefore, I tell you, everything you ask and pray for, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. What I want us to do, I want us as a people, I want us when we pray to stop throwing up these little prayers and then getting on with life as if we don't expect God to answer. I want us when we pray to settle our souls, to look out on the horizon and be able to be sensitive enough and prayerful enough so that we can hear when God answers. Because if we're saying when we pray, God always hears us, and when he hears us, he always answers, then that means when we pray, we should be expecting a response. And so the question is, what happens if God responds and you're not ready? It makes me think of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was prayed this, but he heard about all the trouble that was going on as some of his people were going back to Jerusalem, and his soul was grieved about what was happening among his people and the help that they needed. And so Nehemiah prayed this big prayer. He was the cupbearer of the king at the time. He prayed this big prayer that God would help him to be able to be a part of the restoration of Israel. And so he goes to the king and he says, King, I need some help, da-da-da-da-da. And the king asked him three questions. How long is it going to take? What do you need? And when are you going to get back? Now, the reason that Nehemiah was able to go was because he had an answer for the king. He had a prayerful answer for the king. You know why? Because he was expecting God to respond with a yes. Now, guess what happens if Nehemiah don't know the answer to them questions? Ain't no king letting him go nowhere. I want us to be prayerfully expectant. That we know when God, when we pray to the God of heaven, he's going to answer our prayers and ready ourselves for his response. Listen, I'm almost out your way. When believers who are faithfully walking in obedience ask God for anything according to his will, he gives heed to their requests, and they receive, it's very simple, they receive what they ask of him. Listen, I didn't bring any fancy way to close the sermon with me this morning. I just want to tell you that your heavenly Father's waiting for you to come talk to him. And I don't know how many more ways I can say it, so I'll just let him tell you himself from his word. In Matthew chapter 11, he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Psalm 84, 11, he says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. Listen to this. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Isaiah 55, 1, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, guess what? You can come and buy and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. John chapter 3 writes, no one can receive anything unless it has been given to him from heaven. And if that's true, then I want to encourage us, like the writer of Hebrew encourages us in chapter 4. Let us then, with confidence, there goes that word again. Let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. My brothers and sisters, I just want to leave you with this today. We need to be a people who take advantage of the opportunity that God gives to us through his son, that you have unlimited access to ask of him what you will and expect an answer. I want you to be encouraged by that today, because some of you are praying for some hard things. Some of you have been praying for a long time, and some of you have gotten discouraged because you don't feel like God hears you. But listen, these are not just words, these are promises. If you belong to him, he hears you. And if he hears you, then he'll give you what you've asked for. Let's pray.
Hello, this is Dr. Eric Mason, founder and pastor of Epiphany Fellowship. Thank you for tuning in today. Hopefully the word of God was a blessing to you. Also, if you want to help us build the kingdom from Philly and beyond, particularly in inner cities, partner with us today. And if you don't know Jesus as Savior, based on his death, burial, and resurrection, place your confidence in him and go from spiritual death to spiritual life. Tune in next time so we can see you go from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity. God bless you. Take care. We love you.